Coddersill's kickoff. This is Radio City Talk.
Okay, Mark Quayle, Matty Jones in the studio then. So it wasn't a massive surprise to me. The biggest issue around this is around what figure should be put in his clause in terms of a release figure. Now, I believe from what I read this morning, and Paul Joyce is the guy who broke the story with the Times, Paul's saying somewhere between £80 and £90 million is what Everton wanted to put in. He wanted a release clause less than £70 million. Regardless of it, stand back from it. He basically wanted an exit route from Everton, regardless, didn't he?
Well, I just on that particular point, it's my looking at this now, the board were more keen to sign Lukaku on a new contract with a bigger buyout clause as opposed to building the future around him. And because I think whatever is in there now is probably less than what they feel he's worth. So we're going to have this scenario again, which we've touched on before, where similar thing with Liverpool, Suarez's buyout clause was 40 million. So let's say Lukaku's maybe 50, 60, I don't know. And now you're thinking, well, we actually should and could get more than that, possibly in the going rate in the current market. Get him to sign a new deal and put a new clause in at 80, 90. So at least then you're dealing with a minimum of that as opposed to a maximum of 40 or 50 or 60 or whatever. So that would be my feeling on it. Everton wanted to time to a new deal in order to get a better price for him. And it's not really happened, unlucky.
Well, that doesn't really help the player himself, does he? And the player himself might be thinking, well, why should I be hindered from going to a club like, if he wants to go to Chelsea?
With only 2 years left on his contract, I think all the ducks are in a row for him now, perfectly. You know,
exactly. So why should he have signed a contract regardless? Well, what reason, Matty, is there for Romelu to actually sign a contract?
The only reason that Everton were going to be able to give him was if they were to finish in the top four this year, I think, because he's desperate to play Champions League football. I was having a little research about this last night because I was writing a piece on him. And 12 months ago, he said exactly the same thing. He was away on international duty with Belgium and he said, the next step for me is to play in the Champions League. I would like to do it next season. Well, obviously, he's not got his wish this year because he's still playing at Everton. He's probably looked at it and thought, well, they're not going to qualify for the Champions League this season either. So when are they? And he wants to play in the elite competition. That's understandable because he's probably one of the best 10, 15, 20 strikers in Europe, you'd say at the moment, wouldn't you, the way he's going.
Well, cynically, does he want to not just play in it, but does he want to play in it and get far in it? And that I think that's a real key difference here because, you know, Everton might have been going all out to strive and convince him that, oh, we could get in the Champions League eventually. But if you're 23, 24 and one of the best in Europe, you want to be winning things or at least get into the final stage of a competition. Now, realistically, Everton aren't going to do that, are they?
Absolutely.
At this moment in time, that's completely and utterly the case. There's no argument there. I think what Everton have done is they've brought the contract negotiations out mid-season in and around Christmas, and that will externally or internally perhaps put pressure on or through the press, it puts a bit of pressure on it to a bit of a tactic a club will use in order to say, look, hey, we're doing our best. We want to sign this player. Fans get behind us, give them all the love, the support, you know, that kind of thing. And it hasn't worked. I mean, you know, you could argue and say, well, why didn't this get left till the end of the season? Because right now, as an Everton fan, you're thinking, what reception's he going to get? What are the fans going to sort of be like with him on the pitch? When, you know, that kind of thing. We've got quite a lot of football to be played. We've got something to go for. We've got big games coming up. We've got derby matches. Fans are going to need to get behind him. And unfortunately, this is not a PR success at the moment from that state of play. Personally, I'm not too unhappy at this. You know, I think we'll move on quite quickly from this.
Quite quickly? You can't really replace him, can you?
Well, in some ways.
Just on the PR front, I've talked about this with Ped before. The club have never really taken advantage of the Romelu-Lukaku PR machine. They've never gone full hog in trying to make him a hero, despite his heroics on the pitch. The club have fairly sort of stood back and not made it all about the sensational centre-forward, whereas I think most clubs would have done.
I think some of that's down to the player himself. You know, you look at the goals he scored against the top teams. I think his record's sort of 3-30 against the top four or something to that effect. The goals, I think I seen a report the other week where if you took the top scorers out of the teams in sort of the top 10 or whatever, Everton would actually be fourth because the goals he scored, they tend not to be an important goal. For instance, the third on Saturday, the game's won. He'd had an indifferent game. He'd hadn't been able to trap a bag of cement again and sort of lulled about and then he gets a little header sort of on a plate again. The goals he scores are on a plate. nine times.
Are you
out
playing
of 10.
Him down now? Are you doing that? No. Only hey, listen, I would actually,
I would actually like to think I've played him down throughout the course of his Everton career. Always wanting more. Always thinking work rate not enough, control poor, power and pace when he fancies it great. But when you see him going up with that turtle header kind of neck when he doesn't really
this.
Want to head it.
You're atypical well, of Evertonians, and now we're going to talk about him as if he's disposable.
We watch him week in, week out.
Last week he was the best thing since sliced bread.
No, I never said that.
We had something on the legends where people were readily admitting he's in the top three Everton strikers of all time.
He's Everton's top Premier League scorer of all time. And
but that
maybe
itself
it's not saying
a
much.
Small
but,
period of time,
but
isn't it?
He scored 61, is it, Premier League goals now in three and three quarter seasons with Everton, which is a pretty remarkable stat. Given his age, I look back at some of his brilliant goals. There was that the Chelsea one in the FA Cup last year, which was a phenomenal goal. Really, the drive that he took through the Chelsea team, and I think it just leaves Everton in a real predicament now because they've got to sell him this summer because his value past this summer completely decreases unless he signs a new contract.
You're doing what fans of other clubs do. You're picking out the moments that everybody sees. You're not seeing the games up at Middlesbrough away where it finishes 0-0 and you're thinking, you know what, he should score.
But all players
have those, next level,
don't they?
To go to that next level, for me, he needs to show better consistency. For him, one game against Bournemouth, as great as it was, and I really enjoyed it, you know, you would like to see more and more consistently, you know, three against Sunderland away. There's seven goals in two games out of this season's record.
So, Quayle, you've just convinced me he's a £30 million player, not an £80 million one.
Well, if you're putting
the
bid in...
See, the Everton board aren't going to be talking like that, are they?
Well, look, are you going to ask me if there's someone out there right now to replace him with the goals he scored? I couldn't tell you who that is. I honestly couldn't. But for me, it's not about building your team around one player. It never will be. It's about creating a team and an ethos or a way of scoring goals in other ways. And I think that we can move forward from this as, you know, as we're growing as a club. I feel as an Evertonian, I feel we're growing as a club. We're going in the right direction. The board seems to be positive. They seem to be financially backed. And I think if we get the ground and we move forward, you know, this is just a little part of history and we've just got to accept it for now.
Right, Greg O'Keefe in The Echo today has done a number of different scenarios as to what could happen. So the deal remains unsigned and Lukaku pushes for a summer exit. That's his number one. I think that's the most obvious one, isn't it? That's exactly why he hasn't signed the deal. He wants to leave and I'm presuming Chelsea are the front runners to maybe try and sign him. His number two is Lukaku signs his deal, which isn't going to happen, is it? It's never going to happen. I mean, he could have signed it over the last 3 or 4 months. Lukaku signs his deal with a newly negotiated exit clause between 70 million and 90 million. Why would he do that? There's nothing in it for him to do that, is there?
Well, he could have done that over the last 3 months. We were told at Christmas that it was 99.9% done. There's been no movement since then. He's got no reason. He's clearly got no ambition to sign a contract with Everton. Mm.
Okay, the deal remains unsigned. This is number three. And Lukaku does not leave in the summer. Well, surely that's completely untenable. Otherwise, he would have signed the deal.
From a financial business point of view, you're going to have to cash in.
All right, the deal remains unsigned and Lukaku stays for the remainder of his contract.
But highly unlikely. I think that, you know, the atmosphere of a player in that situation, he would not be comfortable. He'd want to leave.
I know in your sports news before you say Everton have not given up on changing his mind. But I think it's a little bit of a curveball to say that because it's almost it can't happen. It's rumbled on too long now to the point where the club themselves are putting that out as PR themselves.
Yeah.
But actually, Lukaku isn't sat at home going, "Oh, they can change my mind on this," is he?
It's almost a lost cause for them, I think, isn't it? And their problem is going to be replacing him. I know you said that you can't think of anyone as out there, but we saw it in the summer. Everton have got this money now to spend, and all they could bring in was Valencia to act as a second striker, even with 70 or 80 million pounds or whatever they get in the bank to replace Lukaku. It's going to be nigh on impossible for them to get the player of his class to the club unless they are in the Champions League. And they're not going to do that this year. Are they going to do it next year?
I think just as a caveat to that point is if you rewind to last summer and you are looking for a top striker, no top striker is going to come when you know, the game mostly these days is played with one main centre forward, especially at Everton. So whoever was to come in would need to be number one. And I think they'd have looked at that. Now, if you remove Romelu from that situation, you are going to have an opportunity to bring in a top striker that goes straight in at number one and will be excited by the idea of playing for Everton and will be financially rewarded at that level.
Mick on the Twitter. Morning, Mick. He says, we should have given Romelu our iconic number nine shirt this season and got him a partner up front, maybe Defoe. Would that have changed his mind again? Well, I don't know.
That's not really how the manager looks. Doesn't look like that's how the manager wants to play the game.
No, because he doesn't want to focus it all on one person. He's a bit Klopp-esque, isn't he? It's more about the team.
Well, I think he likes to play with one main striker. And maybe that is a consequence of Lukaku being a powerful figurehead. And maybe that might change with the type of striker or strikers that he brings in next time.
Well, the other argument to this is maybe Romelu has just been honest to himself and to the fans in what he's doing. Maybe it's dishonest if he did sign a deal.
Although I have talked him down and sort of highlighted what I see as the way his game's lacking. At this moment in time, he sees himself as, and rightly so, the main figurehead of Everton, the goal scoring, you know, leading goal scorer, and one of in the league, if not the leading goal scorer. So his ambition now is outgrown at this moment in time where Everton are. And I can't disagree with how we might want to, if this is how he feels he wants to progress his career, then I couldn't really argue with that.
All right, here's some stats just to go against what you were saying before. 51%. Romelu Lukaku has been directly involved in 51% of Everton's Premier League goals this season. 19 goals, 5 assists, and 1.3 goals Everton score per game in the league with Romelu Lukaku in the side. Look, without him, it falls to 0.9.
Yeah, but without him, you're playing with 10 men. Whoever comes in and replaces him or whatever we do, there'll be another person on the pitch in that position.
Oh, I love it.
The kickoff on Radio City Talk. Your one stop for Merseyside sport.
This is Radio City Talk.